This is an ABC podcast.
Hi, I'm Talia, and it's Pacific Playtime. This is a show all about listening, learning, and having fun. Have you got your listening ears on? What about your grown-up? Are they ready? Change means lots of different things. You can change your appearance by using face paint, or you could get change at the shops. Today, we explore change. But first, here's the news.
Hello, friends. How are you going? My name's Ruby, and you are listening to News Time.
Nice to meet you, Ruby.
Are you ready to hear which fantastic news stories we'll be counting down this week?
Ready to go.
Great. Today, Indigenous rangers are going to help us track a rare fish. We'll meet some kids who stuck up for their classmate. And I'll tell you about a knight's sword that was plucked from the bottom of the ocean.
Amazing!
Let's start the countdown.
Story number three.
What am I looking at? It looks kind of like a big, sharp saw to cut wood. But it also kind of looks strangely like a sea creature.
A flat body, fins, little flippers on the side, there's two eyes and one little saw mouth.
It looks like a saw and it is a fish.
Mm-hmm. There's only one explanation. It must be a sawfish. They have long noses with sharp teeth that stick out along the edges. They can be hard to spot.
They're probably just good at hiding.
But Indigenous rangers have helped scientists find this sawfish in far north Queensland. It lives in freshwater on Quinkan Country, which is quite close to Cape York. There used to be lots of sawfish living in that area. There's old rock art there with paintings of them. But now, sawfish are some of the most endangered fish in the world. No one knows how many are left.
Kind of like the kelp, there's probably something wrong with their habitat, like people are cutting down trees or the water's not good.
You might be right. It's the first time a sawfish like this has been recorded in the area in 29 years. Scientists asked the Indigenous rangers to help them because the rangers know a lot about their country and its river systems. The scientists tagged the fish. That means they attached a device to its body so that they can keep track of where it swims.
That's a good thing to do.
Scientists and rangers want to learn more about sawfish so they can help them survive long into the future.
Story number two.
When you're at school, you usually need to wear a hat when you're outside, right?
Lunch time and morning tea time. When we go outside, like in the morning, when we get to school, we have to wear it and then we take it off when it's morning class.
That makes sense. It's not very sunny inside a classroom, so most people take their hats off indoors. But 13-year-old Ella likes wearing a hat or a hoodie almost all the time. Ella lives in England and she has an illness that makes her hair fall out.
If I had a condition that made my hair fall out, people would sometimes probably laugh at me.
That would be a mean thing to do. Ella says she's not ashamed of losing her hair. She has a short shaved haircut and she likes wearing hats because they make her feel more comfortable, like a snuggly blanket. But Ella's teachers told her it was against the rules to wear a hat or a hoodie in class.
If she's only comfortable with wearing a hat, she should be allowed to.
Ella's classmates thought that was unfair, so they had a protest. A protest is when a group of people come together to show others that they feel strongly about something. Sometimes they use that protest to make change.
That's good for them.
Lots of Ella's friends and classmates, and even some of their parents, came to the school the next day in hats and hoodies. Ella's friends were showing that they didn't like the school's rules that stopped her from being comfortable, and they asked the school to change them. And guess what? The protest worked. The teachers listened and agreed to let Ella wear a cap and hoodie to school.
I'm glad that happened.
Ella says it felt amazing to see so many people stand up for her.
Story number one.
On guard.
I have an ancient knight's sword.
A sword is something they usually have in battles.
A sword is a thing what you hunt with sometimes. Maybe the soldiers have swords for the queen.
That's right. Swords aren't very common these days, unless you have a special blade to do a sport called fencing. Or if you do a special type of dancing that uses swords. But experts think this sword was used in the Crusades. They were battles that happened in a part of the world called the Middle East about 1,000 years ago, when warriors were fighting over an area called the Holy Land.
Don't chuck it away. Probably put it in a museum.
Yep, that's where it's headed. But first, I think it needs a bit of a clean. What's all this stuff on it?
It looks like a sword with lots of shells stuck onto it.
It's covered in shells and barnacles. Might be because it was discovered by a diver at the bottom of the sea, near the country Israel. Gosh, I bet that diver was excited to discover this treasure.
Really, really, like, shocked to find it at the bottom of the sea and kind of amazed. Like, wow, oh my goodness.
When this sword is cleaned up, we might be able to see someone's name on it or an engraved decoration. And that will tell us more about the knight who once wielded it. History experts say that warriors used to anchor their ships in a sheltered bay where this sword was found. That means there could be even more treasure waiting to be found at the bottom of the sea.
Yay!
And that is it, my friends. That is another episode of News Time Done.
Thank you, Ruby.
Don't forget to do the quiz.
Yes, check the show notes for today's quiz questions and all the answers. I'll be back next week with 5 more stories from right around the world.
Bye.
See you later.
Thanks, Ruby. Today we're talking about change. And sometimes if you go to the shops to buy something, you get some change. But where does that money come from? Bree and Imagine This have the answer.
Hello, I'm Bree, and welcome to Imagine This. Today, we're finding out about something that I have right here in my pocket. Have you heard this sound before? What do you think it is?
Money.
Money.
You have money in your pocket.
In your pocket.
Yes, I've got some money here. In my pocket. Some coins. Have you seen a coin before?
Yes. It looked like 10 cents silver. That's 20 cents
a circle.
There are lots of these coins all over the world, and they come in all different shapes and sizes. But where did they all come from? On today's show, Millie has a question about this.
Where does money come from?
Interesting question. Do you think money grows on trees?
No, only food.
Ah, yes. Food grows on trees, not money. Do you think it falls out of the sky?
No.
No,
no, it doesn't. People made it.
It comes from a machine.
Money comes from a machine?
Yeah.
But how did it get there? There must be another place that the money comes from.
Shops, because you buy something and then you give them money and then they give money back to you.
From your work.
The government.
My dad's wallet or my mum's.
There's some buildings
who make the money.
Like, how do the government make the money?
It sounds like there are lots of different places that money comes from and lots of different ways to get it. I know. Let's ask someone who knows all about money.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Please welcome our very special guest today, all the way from Griffith University in Queensland. It's the man who knows about money, Fabrizio Carmignani.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. You're too kind. Too kind.
Hi, Fabrizio.
Hi.
Fabrizio, where did money first come from?
Before we had money, we used to swap things.
Swap things? What kind of things?
Anything. We used to swap vegetables. We used to swap apples. We used to swap chickens.
Chickens?
Yes.
Can you make the sound of a chicken?
Bark, 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 bark.
We used to swap cows.
Cows? What sound does a cow make?
We used to swap pigs.
Pigs? What does a pig sound like?
And goats.
A goat? Can you make the sound of a goat too? Great animal sounds. So we used to use these animals and vegetables and anything we could find to swap for the things that we needed.
That's right.
So why did we need money?
The poor chicken had to be taken from place to place so that you could swap them for an ice cream. But these chickens and cows and pigs and goats were too heavy. And these chickens and cows and pigs and goats didn't want to go to market. So we decided to invent money.
Money.
So coins were made from silver and gold and metal. Because those little coins were a lot easier than taking a pig to market. So who makes the money now, Fabrizio?
The coins come from a place called the Mint, and the Mint is like a factory.
And what about those colourful notes?
There's some buildings who make the money. They print the papers.
Yes, that's right. The notes are made in a factory.
So these coins and these notes and all of this money out there, how do I get it into my wallet?
You could find money on the ground if you're very lucky.
Oh, hey, come check what I found. Look.
$1.
Woohoo! I'm rich.
Someone could give you money as a gift.
Happy birthday!
Most people get it by working.
Working? Like going to a job?
Yes. So they can get money.
Money to buy what?
Well, for like shopping and stuff.
Like food, toys.
The things they need.
Clothes.
Is milk a need?
If you had money in your pocket, what would you buy?
Ice cream.
Well, I'll buy like food and toys.
Ice cream from the canteen.
So, Millie, the answer to your question is that money was invented a long time ago, and today it comes from a factory. If you want to get some, well, you might have to go to work to get some money in your pocket. So, Fabrizio, if I worked really hard and had lots of money, could I have everything I want?
Not really.
Why not?
The best things in life are free.
Free? But what's better than buying ice cream?
The ocean. Friendship. A hug.
Okay, hugs are pretty good. Maybe one day this week, you and your family could find an activity to do together that is totally free, which means it doesn't cost any money at all. Like going for a walk in the sunshine, going to the park, or even playing a game together. Whatever it is, I hope you have lots of fun.
Thanks, Bree. You're listening to Pacific Playtime. Have you ever dressed up and pretended to be an astronaut or a cat? Playing pretend is fun, and putting makeup or paint on your face can help us change how we look. On Little Yarns today, we're learning about painting up.
Yama, my name's Rudy and I'm a Gamilaroi girl.
Yama Rudy.
Yama.
For today's Little Yarn, we're heading to the desert, to Arabana country. It's normally very hot and dry there, but once every 10 years, the Salt Lake fills with water and animals travel from all around Australia to visit Katitanda. It's a really special time to celebrate. Our friend Lakota is going to teach us a word that's an important part of Arabana celebrations. Do you know what it could be? It's something we do to get ready for ceremony. Lakota's going to teach us more. Come on!
Aru, I'm Lakota. Welcome to Katitanda in South Australia.
Aru.
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 I'm an Arabana woman. Can you say Arabana?
Arabana.
Arabana.
Great job. Normally, it's very dry here. Katitanda is a salt lake. That means it doesn't have much water in it. The earth around Katitanda is dry and red, and the animals have to leave to find water. Luckily, you've come here at a very special time. The rains have come down from the north, so the lake is full, and the animals have returned.
Oh, what a deadly time to visit.
They're all coming back for a drink of water.
Look out for the lizards. We call the little skink ones gata gata. You'll see blue tongues out here. Goannas, we call them kapari. And there's ungara, the sleepy lizard from our dreaming. You'll see eagles, emus, we call them warukati, and kangaroos, we call them kungara.
There's so many animals.
Yeah, so much life returns to country when the rains come. Water is so precious for our country and everything that lives here.
Whoa, listen to them all.
Oh, deadly.
I can hear frogs.
And crows.
Yep, we call crows wakala in Arabana. And see all those pelicans? They've flown hundreds of kilometres to get here. No one knows how they know when the lake is full. But every time the rains come, the pelicans and many other birds follow.
That's so cool. It's like they know when there's a big feed ready. A bit like my cousins rocking up at dinner time.
Because it's dry and hot so much of the year, it's a really special time when it rains like this. So I want to teach you a word in Arabana for something that helps us celebrate. Can you say Malka Kudninta?
Malka Kudninta. I forgot how to say it. Malka Kudninta.
Yeah, great job. Malka Kudninta means to paint up for corroboree. That's when we paint our bodies and faces for ceremony. We make the paint from earth, from ochre. Do you ever paint up, Malka Kudninta?
Yes, it's really special, and it's what our ancestors did when they were gonna dance.
I like it when it's dry, but when it's wet, it feels cold.
Oh, I love how cold it is when I smooth it on my skin. I use white ochre when I paint up.
We use white, so the girls get, like, dots around their face, and then the boys, they do it like us, but with lines, not with dots.
Well, let me show you how we Malka Kudninta Arabana way. We make the paint up from ochre that we traded from Adnyamatha country, just south of here. We mix it with gutta, that's water, and the fat of emu or kangaroo. Now, because I'm a woman, I malka kudninta with waru, the white ochre. And the men use akapa and karku, the reds and yellows. That's the traditional way. But I like to paint up my way too. To express who I am today, I like to express my strength and my connection to my culture with the paint on my face, to stand proud in my roots, like a big strong tree for the world to see. Can you stand up tall and reach up like a big tree?
You put a seed and then you put water in and then it grows towards up to the sky. It has blue leaves. I'm the bigger tree.
I'm the bigger tree!
Great work, little trees. Malka kudninta expresses my strength and my connection to my culture. What makes you feel proud?
My family.
Me and my sisters share a special bond where we can, like, already tell what each other are thinking and when each other are sad, like, we know.
I feel proud of the music.
I'm dancing.
Yeah, we all dance.
Being Aboriginal makes me feel proud.
Oh, deadly. That's great to hear. There are lots of ways to connect to your culture and to your history and ancestors too. I use my language. Learning Arabana helps me understand where I come from. You can find all kinds of clues in language. Words are powerful. They hold history and knowledge in them.
That's such a great way to think about it. Thanks for teaching us some words in language, Lakota.
No worries. I'll see you next time.
Bye, Lakota.
Yalu.
Bye, Lakota.
Did you have a nice time on Arabana country? Can you remember the Arabana word Lakota taught us?
Malka kudninta.
Malka kudninta means painting up.
That's right. Malka kudninta means paint up in Arabana. There is so much language to learn and lots of amazing country to visit in Australia. Thanks for coming along with me today. Yalu.
Yalu, Rudy. It's time now to venture outside with Anne and find out what bird is making that noise. Here's Noisy by Nature.
G'day. Welcome to Noisy by Nature. My name is Anne. My favourite thing to do is use my ears to listen to the different sounds that nature makes. I love the sound of grunting koalas. And bird wings flapping. Right now, I'm walking along a dirt path through the bush and over the sand dunes to the beach to fly my red and blue kite. It's my favourite. The path is surrounded by tea trees and their twisting, knotted trunks are bending all over the place. They have small, spiky green leaves and lovely white flowers all over, and they smell delicious. It's a bit windy, which is good, because I need the wind to help me fly my kite. Can you hear the wind in the trees? Oh, what was that? That rustling sounds like something moving in the leaves on the ground. Oh, I can see a snake slithering off deeper into the bush. It's slithering pretty fast. I can't tell what sort it is. It must be trying to get away from my loud footsteps. Oh, and that's good. Snakes usually run away before you even see them because they're actually quite scared of us humans. I'm a little scared of them. Oh, two tiny birds have flown into the bush beside the path. Can you hear them twittering away? They are superb fairy wrens. What a beautiful song. Fairy wrens are round little birds, not even as big as a tennis ball, more like a ping pong ball. I can see one male with his bright blue feathers and a brown-coloured one, which is a female. They love flitting around in the scrub near the beach. I'm a little hungry, so I'm going to eat some trail mix. Yummo, I love eating all the choc chips first. Whoa! I just saw this bright red flash out of the corner of my eye. I wonder what that was. Maybe a bird? Disappeared. But I can hear some chirping and clicking that started nearby. Can you hear it? Oh, wow! I think that flash of red that I saw was the bird making this lovely sound. I'm looking for it. I can't see it. Oh, there it is. It just popped out from behind a branch. I knew it! It's a beautiful parrot. Actually, this is one of my favourite birds in the whole wide world. It's deep red in colour with blue and black flecks on its wings and a blue patch under its chin. It's a crimson rosella. Yep, what a pretty sound it's making too. I love them so much. Do you have a favourite bird? Oh, two more crimson rosellas just flew into that same tree. They're all looking at me like they're very curious. Oh, I think they want some of my snacks. I do want to be nice and share, but crimson rosellas are not supposed to eat human trail mix. You see, we should never feed wild animals, even a little bit, because if it's not something that they normally eat, it might make them sick. So it's best if you keep your food to yourself and your human friends. Oh, another one's just joined the group. And it's got green feathers. Oh, and that means it's still a young rosella. I see some of them are eating seeds from the tree. They hold onto the seed in their claw and then they bring it all the way up to their mouth to crunch on. Crunch, 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 crunch. Ah, they're splitting open the outside of the seed and eating the soft bit in the middle. Oh, and then dropping the seed on the ground, making a bit of a mess. Sometimes, if crimson rosellas are busy eating, they stop chiming and chirping, and all you're going to hear is the sound of them cracking open seeds and munching on them. So if you find a pile of seed shells on the ground, look up, because you might find a rosella having its lunch. Crimson rosellas are found in southeastern Australia. That means from southern Queensland all around the east coast to South Australia. They love forests and woodlands and parks, as well as being near the beach like these ones. Ah, two of them just flew up into a hole in the tree trunk. That's called a hollow. That must be a really nice home, nice and cosy. I think I might leave them to have a nap after eating all that birdseed. Plus, I have a kite to fly. What a pretty nature sound. That has to be one of my all-time favourites. Because I love the sound of a crimson rosella so much, I would love it if you made the sound with me. Will you make a crimson rosella sound? Oh, you will. Great. Okay, here we go. You ready? Ding, ding, ding. Ding, 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 ding. Tick, tick. Crunch, crunch, crunch. Oh, that is a fun noise to make. It's one of my favourites. Okay, I'm nearly over the sand dunes now. Oh, they're a bit hard to walk up because the sand is so soft. Time to launch my kite. All right, here we go. Whee! Off it goes. Oh, do you remember which colour my kite was? Yes, it's red and blue. So up in the sky, it looks like a big crimson rosella. How good is that? Remember, whenever you're outside, you can use your ears to listen to all the amazing sounds that nature makes. I'll bring you some weird and wonderful sounds of Australian nature very soon, but for now, I'm Anne, signing off like a crimson rosella. Beep, beep, ding,
ding, ding, ding. Thanks for listening to Pacific Playtime. This show is a collaboration between ABC Kids Listen and ABC Radio Australia. I hope you can join me next week for more listening, learning, and fun. Bye!